Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back, new series!
Look at them beady eyes down the camera.
Everyone's, are we all recharged the batteries?
Yes, absolutely.
Back.
With a vengeance.
Roaring to go.
Yeah.
Good to see you, lads.
It is you. Hope you've missed us.
Woody, first of the series, double parter, it's going to be a good one.
Andy Woodman.
It's an excellent one.
I know, Woody, just, does anybody know you?
It's Andy Woodman.
Yeah, it's
Andy Woodman. I can't
remember his first obviously, his nickname is Woody. But it's a strong start and I'm sure you're going to like it.
And a big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this episode, which we've all got our little trimmers, haven't we? Our big trimmers.
Well, after we finish, we're all going to have a look at each other, see who does the best job.
Because I don't usually keep it nice and trim, and it's a nice change.
Yeah,
at least an inch.
I like the thing that come with it. You get the ball wipes.
Yes.
Ball wipes, ball deodorants.
Deodorant. We've all got glistening balls.
Yeah. Under these jeans, it is pristine.
Oh, you could eat your dinner off it.
I'm not quite sure about that, but
tell you what is a nice touch, the nose trimmer. Oh. And if anything, can remove the hairs out of that, it's worth buying, lads, I'm telling you.
I think they made a special one for you, didn't it? Like a Black & Decker.
Industrial size.
But there's all kinds available. You've got your wash bag, ball trimmer, nose trimmer, and ear trimmer, deodorant.
Wipes.
Shampoo.
Shampoo.
Have you getting on your ball shampoo? That.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, lads.
It's good gear, isn't it?
It is very good gear.
Bubbly?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice texture.
And Manscaped sponsoring the podcast, you can get 20% off. Well, the link's in the description. And all you got to do is clip through and use the code COSH20 and get your 20% off your ball trimmer and your nose trimmer and your smellies and your undies.
Get involved.
And we say it also all the time, but thank us later.
Yeah. Get involved, eh?
Cost 20. Get on the website, get on the link in the description, cost 20 and get you 20% off.
And we have been recording whilst we've been off. So we're in front of it, aren't we? Mm. We know that there is some absolute belters coming up.
Humdingers.
Yeah. Up there with the best, isn't it, before we start?
But yeah.
It's a good start.
I'm going to throw it out there. This is in my top five. So if you trust what I say, if you trust us, this is in my top five.
I trust you, John. I trust you.
And we went down south and he wasn't even meant to be here.
It was beyond. We've got lucky on numerous occasions and this was beyond lucky.
This was winning the lottery on the Saturday and then getting five balls and the bonus ball on the Wednesday. that's how outrageous it was. Yes. Basically, I fucked up.
Not for the first time. Up until, 6 hours before he come on, he didn't know he was coming on.
No. Basically, I'm going to hold my hands up. I fucked up. We had a guest who cancelled on us the day before we were supposed to be there. We were down south. We got a destination to record Nicky Forster. And unfortunately, I misheard him or misread his text saying we couldn't use his premises the following day. So we're driving to Fozzie's gym at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Brownie said, "Just
what were his excuse for misreading text? I were hungry.
I was starving, weren't I? I was starving, but I thought I'd heard something when we left Foz's gym saying it should be fine. But I don't know. I drove all the way down. I was fucking knackered. He was just sat in, caught him back like fucking Prince Charles
sorting the guest out.
Prince Charles.
There's only one person could have sorted that out, and that was my Uncle Keith.
Uncle Keith, honestly.
Uncle Keith, come on. Big shout out to Uncle Keith.
Honorary member of this podcast now, Uncle Keith, for that.
He's getting a plaque.
And if you've ever watched the quizzes, My little Keith made a guest appearance.
In his underpants.
In his undercrackers. So he sorted it out. He said, yeah, Woody's good to go tomorrow.
So there's the venue, the guest, all done. Hospitality, the lot.
Yeah, and it's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a bloody good one. Two-parter.
Both thinking same thing then, weren't we?
Straight in.
I'm going to be honest with you, right? I didn't know who he was. Probably his name. I can remember, I know you didn't, if you got fucking Nicholas and Elker on, you'd struggle. but I could, obviously, when you showed me the picture of him, I obviously recognised him from being on benches. And yeah. I actually played against him as well.
I couldn't remember him as a player. I can remember him being next to Pardew and getting to Charlton and that. But he tells a very good story.
Yeah, and he's got lots of them.
It's going to be a bloody good series, this. Quick reminder, if you've not been involved in the Who Knows Wins League, we've all been involved, haven't we? Under the cosh, Who Knows Wins League, all you've got to do is download the app, iTunes Store, Google Play, and join the league. It's good, isn't it?
It is. £5 in.
For 10 fixtures. Pick the results of 10 fixtures. Winner takes the majority of the pot.
All the pot goes. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Stick your fiver in, make your 10 predictions, and then the top predictors take the pot. No bookies.
All the pot goes every week, which for me is the best thing. And you don't have to get them all correct to win.
It just makes Saturdays more interesting. More entertaining, watching every score come in.
Yeah, so if you've not got involved before, then the link's in the description of the podcast. And just download the Who Knows Wins app on iTunes or Google Play and search for the Under the Cosh League every week, every weekend, £5 in. Win yourself a bit of a Brucey bonus.
Win yourself a holiday for when we can go.
Absolutely.
Manor, the league goes up.
This weekend's league, 10 games to choose from. Just click on the link, £5 in, winners to hit the pot. There's over £1,000 last week.
Mm.
There's been some big winners.
Oh, yeah.
Should we get Woody in?
Let's get Woody in.
Let's get Woody in and crack a Peroni.
Woman, how are we doing?
Yeah, really good. Lovely to see you guys.
You too, mate.
Thank you very much for coming on at very, very short notice.
Sounds like a bit of a space filler to me. I'll take that, you know. I think it's scraping the barrel really. But who should we get? Let's get that nugget. Pleasure, absolute pleasure. I think my boy's more excited than I am. So,
does he listen, does he?
Loves it. Can't get enough of it.
He's flying, isn't he?
He's doing all right. Takes after his mum, thankfully. So, he's doing really well. He's having a good season. So, and thankfully, he's nothing like me. So, whatever anyone listens to here, he's not like me at all. Thank God.
Disclaimer.
Exactly.
My research is usually absolutely spot on. I'm renowned for it. But obviously, 24-hour notice, you might have to cut me a bit of slack. Like,
this might be one time when you get away with it.
We'll get it all right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hold my breath. In fact, I'm quite glad you didn't do your research because you wouldn't have found too much.
You got his name right. It's a good start, isn't it?
Have you seen the notes?
Yeah, Andy Woman.
Andy Woman.
Now, that's been confirmed. I'm a fucking socking filler here, aren't I? Fuck me. I must be right at the end of the showreel.
So I think we've played against each other, actually, haven't we?
Target, mate, honestly. It was one of my biggest fucking nightmares. We was winning 1-0, and I just saw the number come up, and I thought, the fucking hell is this coming on? And I just saw it come on, and I just thought, this ball's coming in the box every opportunity. I'm not kidding you. I was so far behind the line, I was almost sitting in with the crowd. It was fucking, I weren't coming for nothing.
I don't think score, did I?
I've got to be honest, I think we won that one 1-0, but I didn't make a save or nothing. I didn't come for a cross.
Where were you at?
I think I was at Northampton at the time. I think we had to win that game to get in the playoffs. And I think we won it 1-0 off of memory, although I'm terrible at remembering games. I've done an interview for years at Stevenage and he was telling me about, I got sent off and I was thinking, was that the same bloke? I didn't tell me about my career and I didn't have a clue. So I think it was at York versus Northampton, but I'm sure we'll get corrected if it weren't.
Yeah. You're not the first award-winning author we've had on, but... Well played.
Oh, well, listen, obviously I was the funny one in the book out of the service. So that's why the book sales went through the roof. Who's been the other author?
Baz Rathbone.
Baz Rathbone, Grobbelaar.
Bruce Grobbelaar,
Mr. John Parkin's got a book out.
Man, it win no fucking.
Yours, madam.
The people's award. The people's award.
Best firelighter of the year award, man. What I think. People getting the fires going with.
So the people who don't know, it was you came through with Gareth Southgate, and you were obviously best mates with him, and you decided to write a book about your growing up and your careers.
Yeah, how it come about really was a bit bizarre. Really, we obviously come through Palace together. And we were complete opposites of the spectrum of characters. I mean, you can imagine, he was a well-spoken, educated, very witty guy, by the way. And then I was this kid from the streets in a bit of a rough area and just sort of lived off my wits a little bit. And on a particular trip, we got to the hotel, and I'd never been on a trip before, and obviously he hadn't, and we got to the hotel and everyone was saying like, oh yeah, I'm with so-and-so, we've got our room sorted, and I'm with so-and-so, and I was thinking, so fucking hell, I didn't thought about who I'm with. And he looked at me and I looked at him, we kind of like, what's who are you with? And he was thinking, oh no, I'm not with you. and I was thinking, oh no, with this fucking boring geezer. And then from that moment we just hit it off, you know. And that was the Varesio tournament in Italy. There was so many things went on that tournament that we just still laugh about it now. I mean, I think I crept out one night and he had to come with me because he thought he ain't going to get back. So he was that sort of guy that would look after me from my crazy things I do. And we ended up in a disco nightclub about 30 miles away. Didn't know where he was. And we got up, we had to get home, climb through a window. It was chaos. But all the sort of stories you do when you're young kids, you know.
And balanced each other out in characters.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I'd say what's been really nice is, I mean, we are complete opposites. Like, there's no doubt about it. People say to me, how are you his mate? And I'm sure they say that to him as well more. but, you know, he just hit off with someone and we was different and we still speak to this day now, you know, all the time. And I mean, you know, he is what he is. He's a good guy.
So he were willing to risk getting caught out to look after you?
Yeah, completely. I mean, listen, he said to me, Woody, don't go out. We've got a game tomorrow. I think it was in this Varesio tournament. It was a big tournament in Italy. I said, fucking hell, mate, we've got to go out. Come on, we're young. We, you know, typical me. And we managed to get out. We was in this nightclub and we was fucking miles from anywhere. And then we started thinking to ourselves, how are we going to get home? Like, we'd lost everyone. We was just me and him. And we managed to wing it and got back somehow. That was pretty much, that was him. He would always try to stop me from doing something, knowing I'd probably do it anyway.
Fair play.
So yeah, he was good like that. And then we've been on holiday together, our families have grown up together, so it's been nice.
So I'm just trying to think of you both on a night out together.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
I can just imagine him leaning against his bar watching.
Yeah. Thinking to myself, any minute I've got to scrape him up. It's funny. I actually had I'm not proud to say this, I had a bit of a scrap once in Croydon. And I remember, like, it's all going off and I'm having chaos on this on the dance floor. And I just remember sensible Sid Southgate just sort of pulling me out underneath the people. And I was just, next thing, we're in a cab getting home. And it was that was classic sort of our relationship. He was always sort of like the buffer to make sure I was all right.
Did he ever have a spell as like a drinker and a going outer, or were he always as sensible as what we see him?
Yeah, he's a sensible guy. And I don't mean that he's a boring guy, because he's a proper funny guy if you get to know him. I'm not disrespecting him now, because obviously he's England manager. I wouldn't do it anyway, but he's a good guy. And he's been a model professional in his private life, in his personal life, and in his football life. And all the things I've not been, really. So, so that's why it's sort of where it is. But he's a good guy.
I'm down as an organiser. He'd organise the Christmas do and make sure everybody's all right. And
Cabs are all sorted, lads. Yeah, you know, I've got your tickets to get in and in my little pouch. That was him. Yeah, he was the organiser, captain, and everything. But he commanded respect, not for that reason, because everyone knew he was just a little bit different from all of us in a way that was, back then, you know, being an extreme professional back then was kind of looked at as a bit weird, whereas now, if you're us, you're kind of weird ones. So he was kind of ahead of the curve a little bit with that.
But he still got the respect, because I imagine, I know what it's like when there's busy people in change rooms, they're like, oh, boring bastard. And they're just kind of half fuck them off if they're too much. But if he's still commanding respect, that's obviously a sign of what he's like as a bloke.
He was brilliant with banter, which might surprise a few people, like proper sharp. So, like, you could say something, he'd cut you in half with a bit of banter that would make you laugh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be too close to the bone, but actually you think, that's a bit of an intelligent answer. So there'd be many a time he'd say something, I think, what does that word mean? But, you know, he's proper sharp like that.
Once you've worked it out, you're like, yeah, oh, fuck,
yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there was, you know, that was like really sharp, and everyone loved him at the club, you know, Palace particularly, you know. And he's been like that everywhere, you know. Anyone that speaks to me now, he's a solid fella. Done a great job, by the way.
Yeah, he has.
You're really good.
When you came through then, you were understudy to Nigel Martin, weren't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, as me luck, we signed the best keeper ever, and I'm possibly the worst keeper ever, so I was never going to get a game. And Nigel Martin was a good guy. Natural goalkeeper, like, natural, but, like, proper fucking boring, like, in the nicest way. Like, he was so, like, didn't know football. He'd come from like, you know, down in, I think, Cornwall somewhere. Proper top fella, but just, like, just didn't get the banter, or his banter was just different. We'd turn up at a game like every week, religiously. We'd put up at a stadium and he'd go, how much further? Like that old gag, well, the stadium's there. Like, that was his banner. You know, that was his banner.
I'm honestly, mate, I didn't know that one.
We're here. Yeah.
So, but he was a fantastic keeper, you know. And Nigel was brilliant, you know, but never got a game. And then at one time he got injured. I broke my kneecap, so I still didn't get a game. But he's fantastic, fantastic keeper. We had some good characters there, you know. I mean, when I first went there, we had like Wright and Bright, you were the main man. We had Stan Collymore. Stan signed, which was the best thing ever for me when he signed, because I sold him a car and it was the best deal ever. yeah, I mean, so we signed Stan Collymore, and he still brings us up to this day. I'd got this Vauxhall Belmont. I don't know if you remember him, but you probably won't even remember him. Basically, it's an Astra with a boot, and it was green. It was the most disgusting car ever. And he signed, and he came into the club, and I thought myself, like, his seat was next to me. And I started chatting to him, hey, dear mate, yeah, yeah, you just signed. I said, okay. And I just started talking. He said, I've got to buy a car. And I thought, I could do selling my car. And I went, oh, it's weird, I'm selling my car like that. And he said, oh, really? He said, oh, I'm interested. I said, well, look, keep it quiet, because a few of the lads want to buy it. None of the lads wanted to buy this car, trust me. And like, all I was worried about is someone like Andy Gray, who was like a big hitter at the club, like a first team boy, who'd done all the, sold anything there. He was the man. No one sold anything other than Andy Gray. So I said, I'll keep it quiet, mate. I said, look, why don't you take it home after training? And he went, really? And I don't even think he had a license. I don't think he even passed at the time. But you know what it's like? In my brain, I was thinking, the first car you drive, it's the best car you want to drive in. So I think to myself, like, look, let's see if I can sell him this car.
Get in it.
So anyway, I say, look, take it quietly. I'll come out, go off, don't let the lads see it, because like, they'll all want to jump in and nick the deal with you. I said, I'll sooner give it to you. Like, and he's gone for it. Oh, brilliant. Anyway, he's took this car home. He's coming next day. I'm just thinking to myself, thank God that fucking car's still in one piece, because I ain't got no MOT tax or anything on it with him. He says, yeah, I'll buy it. How much? And I said, well, look, it's going up for $4,750. Now you could have bought that car for $2,995. I swear to God, no, I'm not even exaggerating, right? And he went, all right. I said, but, and I kid you not, I'm not lying. I said, but I'm not leaving the radio in it. I'm taking the radio out. And he went, all right, no problem. And you know when the old days used to take your radio out?
Yeah, flick it off.
Yeah. So I said, look, keep it quiet though, because the lads, you know, they want to jump on it. I said, let's get the deal done. So anyway, he said, I'll transfer you the money. He transferred me, I think it was $4,500. He said, I'll give you the rest when I get my next signing on fee. So I thought, touch, took the radio out, all done, job done. Now the lads have got wind of it. The lads are like, fucking hell, I can't believe we've bought half wood. He's touched you right up. The penny's dropped in his head. Oh, I've been mugged off here by a London boy. So like, he's not paying me the rest of the $250. So anyway, right, he's got this car. I've got a shot of it. I'm happy. I'm thinking, well, he's not going to pay me the other $250. Gets to the end of the season. So I thought, I tell you what, I know what I'm going to do. His mum loves him. His mum absolutely loves him. And she always called him Stanley. I thought, I'll ring him at home, knowing he's an Ollie. So I ring up. I said, oh, is Stanley there, please? She said, oh, no, love, he's not. He's away on holiday. I said, oh, I'm gutted. I said, he bought the car off me. I said, he owes me £250. I won't be able to go on holiday. Don't worry, love, I'll send it to you. And I said, oh, Stan, when he comes back on holiday. So she sent me the money, bless her. And then I've got the full $4,750. I'm buzzing. Like, you can imagine, the first day of pre-season, he comes in, he is fuming. Like, yeah, I can't believe he did that. I went, mate, deal's a deal. So, like, the lads have got tears, and he's fuming, right? So that was my first experience with Stan. And the twist of this story is years later, he got his own back on me, because I was playing live on telly for Oxford United against Villa. And I had a complete disaster. I let a couple of right pearlers in, one through my legs, one at my hands, smashed my face gold, nightmare. And the commentator went to him and said, oh, you've got to feel sorry for Andy Woodman, Stan. You know, a player you played with, it's been a tough night for him. And he went, I'm absolutely buzzing. He sold me 11 of a car years ago. This is payback. And he actually said that on air. And I sat there and thought, fair play. Karma's a funny thing, you know. So, yeah, that was my relationship with Stan. And we see each other now. He still calls it Bertie Belmont. We still talk about it now.
So he's all right, though, as a bloke? You got on with him?
Yeah, I got on with Stan. I mean, not everyone did. Mate, talented footballer. Jesus Christ. Let me tell you. He really was a talented boy. And it was tough for him. You know, he comes to Palace, his first club from non-league. Big characters there. I mean, I'm sure you've heard it. There were some big characters at Palace at the time. So he found it a little bit tough. I wasn't surprised they went on and done what he'd done. He was a good player. And I think you could say that he's had a brilliant career, and he'd probably, if you first say, had a great career. I think there was so much more in him. He really was a good player.
The amount of lads we've had on who've said Stan Collymore's the best player they've played with.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Good, like, top players as
there
well.
There was a scout at Palace who sadly passed away, John Griffin, who found him. John Griffin found all the top players at that time. You know, the Ian Wrights, the Brights. He found them all. Jeff Thomas's, all those good players we had at that time. And he's found many players, John. And I said to him, who's the best player you found, John? And he, hand on heart, Stan Collymore, he said, best player I've ever found. Mm. And he was that. I think we paid 15 grand for him. Something ridiculous. I mean, imagine that in today's world.
Did he seem like he struggled at times? You know, because he's been open, hasn't he, about his struggles mentally. But obviously, he's a young lad then.
Yeah. And I think again, we kind of take these people back to that era. If you spoke about mental illness then, you was deemed as like weak and
soft,
all that.
Yeah.
And now, thank God the world's changed, because it's a big, big problem for some people in sport and football. And I think he definitely had demons like that, Stan. Yeah. You know, he struggled with things, and but fucking hell, what a great lad.
Wrighty and Mark Wright were thick as thieves, weren't they?
Oh, tight as tight. I mean, they used to batter me every day. I still, when I see Brighty now, I say, mate, I could have a bullying case against you and Wrighty. I mean, the names I had No Eyes, Weetabix, Hamlet, Head Under Your Arm Hamlet. Every day I was getting battered. Like, every goal that went in, fucking hell. Fucking Hamlet, fucking save it, will ya? Every day he'd be saying like, any chance you're just trying to go the right way this week? Or like, it was every day relentless. And I used to go home and say to my dad, I don't know if I'm going to be made for this. I said, I must be shit. I said, the lads are battering me. I mean, like, you know when you're a young player and you get called over to train with the first team and they're like, we need a keeper, send. And I could hear Wrighty and Brighty screaming, get Woody! And I'd be thinking, oh no, fucking hell, it's my turn to go over there again. And literally, I'd be running over there and I'd be hearing him saying, we don't fucking want him, you have him. We'll give you a 2-goal start if you've got Woody. And it was like that, right? And I kid you not. And Brighty, we laugh at it. He said, Woody, it was character building. That's why he survived in the game. And I'm like looking at him thinking, mate, it was the toughest time of my life. You're not fucking battering me every day. And it was like that every day.
Did you get on with him, like, away? Would you go for a beer? Chris has said before, like, you pick on the lads that you like.
Yeah.
Completely.
That's obviously it.
Do you know what? It's funny, right? Because there was another player there, a guy called Jim Cannon, a legend at Palace, old centre-half. He used to batter me to the point he'd be standing there, called me a useless twat. Like, I was like 16. Feel myself, oh shit, I just want to go home. Like, and then I went to a wedding and he was at the wedding and I was with my wife at the time, who was my girlfriend. I went, oh no, Jim Cannon's over there. She said, well, you better go and say hello. I said, no, I'm too scared. I was proper shitting myself, right? Because like this guy at training would batter me every day and I thought, oh, I'm going to get battered at this wedding. So like my miss said, she couldn't get her head around it. She goes, that'd be ridiculous. Like, go and say hello. So I went over and went, oh, all right, Jim, like, this is Anna. And he went, how are you? Nice. My missus went away. He said, what a lovely fella. And I was thinking to myself, you don't know, he batters me every day. Like, but that was my first sort of getting my head around. Like, I've worked work and you get battered, but it's not personal.
Yeah.
It's like they want you to do well and they think that's the way you're going to do better by just battering you.
Yeah, but I think as a young lad, unless, say, you get battered during training, unless they pull you afterwards and say, and when they've calmed down and go, I was trying to help you, you know, try and do this. Then you kind of think, you go away and think, right, that's fair enough. But if they don't do anything, and then it's the same again the next day, and the next day, it kills a lot of young lads.
Completely, completely.
Completely knocks the confidence, so they don't want to go train.
The big thing at Palace as well, I mean, it was kind of crazy for me, because like I was a young kid, and I used to sell everything out of my car. I used to be selling tracksuits, trainers. honestly, I kid you not, when I see the lads now, they still laugh. You got one of those Lyle Scotts, or you got one of those, you know, Ralph Lorenz that, with a cricket bat in his hand, battering me, right? I used to, but non-stop, that was my, how I was brought up, you know? So when I was at Palace, every time there was a trip, like, and we used to have trips all the time back then. That was a big thing. The lads used to play to win a game, to get a trip. It was almost like bigger than any bonus. The minute there was a mention of a trip, they was like, get Woody on it. And it was like, I'd be like, thinking, fucking hell, like, you know, another trip. Buzzing, but like, I'm just going to get battered. Like, so I kind of loved it in one breath. And in another breath, no, it's going to be like a tough, good trip, if you know what I mean. And there was this one time we, in the season, there was a rumour we was going to the Caribbean for, I think it was about 20 days, a trip out there. And rumour got back to me. I'd done my knee a little bit, I'd tweaked my medial ligament. You know what it's like in your medial, you can't quite do stuff. And then, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to go on that trip. Nigel Martin's going to go. And then someone said to me, Blazy was his nickname. Blazy's not going. Get Woody on it. Everyone's like, I can hear the rumble around the track. Get Woody. Now, I'm in the physio room, right? And I'm thinking, well, I can't go on the trip. My knee's hanging off, like. And I kid you not, right? Blazy said he's not going. He's going to paint his house. A gospel truth, right? He's painting his house. So everyone, the rumble is, get Woody on the trip. So the noise comes to the physio room. Woody, if you're going to make the trip, you've got to train today. I said, well, my fucking knee's hanging off here. I said, like, fuck it, let's strap me up. I said, strap me up. Imagine saying physio now, strap me up. I hobbled out there, right, like this. The roar of the training ground was like unbelievable. It was like, honestly, it was the first time I thought, they fucking like me. Like, but really, they was just thinking, get him on the trip. And literally, I trained, I couldn't kick. I literally got through this training session and Steve Copper was like, he's on, and they're raw. The lads, hey, Dougie Woody's on the trip. And we went to the Caribbean. Literally, I played all the games. I'm fucking useless. I was, the lads were pissed every day. We played Trinidad and Tobago in the National Stadium. And, like, they'd been on a drink all day. And, like, there's 28,000 people there. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, you know. This like, fool, he's been drunk as a skunk all day. And, like, we got battered. And it was Woody's fault. Yeah, it didn't matter. Whatever goes. Now it dawned on me why they wanted Woody there. We get beat, it's Woody's fault. And it was like that. Yeah, we stayed out there for about 3 weeks. It was brilliant. Every trip. I mean, we got to the cup final. Every time we won a game around, we'd go to Tenerife. So, literally, the lads would win a game. And it'd be like, Tenerife, here we come. And we'd be straight out of Tenerife for the next round.
Would the club pay for that?
Yeah. It was like, it became like a tradition. So every time we won a round, when we got to the cup final back in 1990, we'd win the game. And, you know, imagine like nowadays, the lads would be addressing through next round, brilliant, going to get to a cup final. Our lot were like, fucking hell, get in there, Tenerife. Tenerife, get Woody on the trip. Get Woody on us. You know, another trip. Every week I'd go to this, like every round, and we got right to the final. And every round we went to Tenerife. It was...
When would you go though? Because there's always...
So one game, we played a game on a Saturday. So we'd play a league game on a Saturday and then we'd fly straight after that game, stay there sort of like Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, fly back Wednesday for the cup game on the following Saturday. So that's how we did it. So like we got through, then we'd look at the dates, the club would look at the dates. And there was one game, we played Liverpool, I think, at Selhurst Park. And literally, the game was finished. We probably got beat. And literally, lads were showered off. Right, airport. And we had a police escort to the airport to get us to Tenerife. To get us to Tenerife. And it was like, at Tenerife, train up.
You took your flip-flops again?
Everything. Oh, our case in the straight to Tenerife. And honestly, if you ask any of the lads now, Jeff told us, they'd be like, yeah, that was a no. We won a game. Tenerife was a trip.
Like no wonder you got to fucking fire.
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy, honestly, crazy times. Really good times, you know. When you look back now, you couldn't get away with any of that now, could you?
But we speak about carrots. If lads get a carrot before a game, about days off, no matter what it is, you get a result. You find a way to get a result.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And if there's a trip to Tenerife on the line, lads are running through walls, aren't they?
The lads loved the Tenerife trip. I mean, it was just a glorified drink fest. And then they trained hard, though, you know. I know that sounds weird for people listening to that. Oh, hang on a minute, he's drinking your footballers. We drank, we trained. And that's where it come to me a little bit, like these lads just loved me on a trip. They kind of looked after me. I was a little bit of the runner of everything. I was always in a mix of all the banter at a young age, which it's brave to do when you're a young kid. You're getting battered and you get some gag drug. Shut up, Woody, you idiot. And you know, you have all this and you think, fuck it, I'm going to go again. Like, I'm going to have a blood go again. And it just sort of goes like that. And you don't see that now. Like, the young kids don't mix with the first team now, do they?
No, it's totally different. Mm.
It's
totally
not allowed to walk in the changing rooms and that.
No, it's real sad. It's
some even train at different places.
Yeah. And I think... I know there's a bit of a clamp down on a bit of bullying and all of that, and it can be deemed as that or character building, and sometimes it's too far one way or the other. I get that, but you know what?
I wouldn't change mine.
No. I really would. And when I see Brighton writing now, they go, nah, come on, it's just a bit of banter, like, you know, laughing off. But actually, it makes you, because if you can't cope with that, you can't cope with 50,000. Well. 6,000 people. 6,500 maybe max.
So who were the manager then when you got to the final?
Steve Coppell. Top bloke, mate. I mean, best player in training every day. And if I was on his team in a five-a-side, I'd be like, oh, no, it's a nightmare. Because, like, if we lost, he would be fuming at me. Wouldn't speak to me for at least 2 days. Like, at least. And he had a nickname for me as well. Like, so I had no eyes. I had fucking Weetabix hands. I had Hamlet, your head's under your arm, Hamlet, remember the advert? I had Twiglet wrist, and then his one was short right arm, man, short right arm, big fella. So whenever a goal went in, he'd go, like, fucking short right arm, like, fucking that's the manager of the club. What fucking chance have I got here? He took me on every trip I went on. It was fantastic times. I wouldn't change for the world.
I can imagine Pard's been one of them who didn't stay in his vest and shorts from 10 till...
No,
three.
No,
his
no.
woman get changed and put his Dapper. Fucking gear on.
Oh, I had my all the
Maclet. Go back and gel his hair up.
If I looked a bit more Maclet, flick a little bit of sand from my top and make it look shitty. Yeah, that worked. That was part of the Woody at that time. You know, like, don't Woody look too good. That's when I had hair as well, by the way. But no, it was all good times. I mean, we had some fucking good times. Really good nights out and trips, which don't happen no more.
No. You made 2 appearances, though. Cup appearances.
Yeah.
At Palace.
Were they what, sorry?
Cup appearances. At Palace. FA Cup or whatever.
FA Cup.
Did you play?
No, I didn't play.
Did you play a game for Crystal Palace?
No, sorry, I didn't play. That was a trick question there, man. Sorry, mate. No, I didn't play a game for Palace. I was like the most consistent bench goalkeeper in the history of bench goalkeeping. And the one time...
How long were you there? Five years?
I was there from like 14, 13 till 20... 122 didn't play a game. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I was on the bench every game, warming up, stretching off, thinking myself, like, not if Nigel Monk come out and got a tackle wrong, and the crowd going red, I'd be thinking, oh, they're giving me yellow. And I could see all the lads looking over, giving it, please be a yellow. We've got Woody coming on, but yeah, never made it. And the one time Nigel got injured, I broke my kneecap, so even by that was the last game of the season, so never played. I must be the most famous non-playing sub goalie to never play at a club. It was crazy times. And in fact, as well, the year we got promoted, the lads were fuming because, like, I've been on the bench every game. I got more bonus than most of them, so I got full bonus and like the chaos. It was chaos. I was like,
you didn't want to come on either.
No, I got full bonus, like the full chunk of money, which I probably blew on a Saturday night in Croydon somewhere, and the lads were like. Like Eric Young particularly, he was like proper like accountant. I can't believe he's got more than me. I've been getting cuts every week. He's got more than me. He got off the bench. And I was like, oh, mate, listen, one of us got it right, one of us got it wrong. You know, you've got all cuts now. I've got the bonus. And it was like that. It was like a full bonus. I was buzzing to get that bonus.
Did you come for a 15-year-old substitute? Is that all right?
No. And listen, we might be, because I said at the beginning, I'm useless, I remember. Did I come on for a 15?
Yeah, Ross Bellotti? No.
Nah.
Cut.
Fucking hell.
I do know that.
I've read that as well.
What is that?
It was on that article, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What is that? That's what?
I thought you got brought off for a 15-year-old, though. Does it not say you
right,
got...
Right, maybe.
I might have. I got sent off, yeah. At Exeter.
Ah, right.
Oh. I think, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, glad you brought that up. Fucking hell. So then we move on from Palace. Fucking hell.
Also, this is where you went to Exeter.
Exeter, right. Yeah. So I signed for Exeter. I got released at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So Terry Cooper rings me up and says, look, we're going to sign you, but we need to look at you in a game. I thought, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't want to be showing up in a game. Yeah, you won't sign me. So anyway, he said, we've got 2 reserve games. Playing those, I'll make a decision on you. So I played these 2 reserve games. I'm not kidding you. I think one of them was against Cardiff, right? Funny enough. played unbelievable. I couldn't have played any better. It was like a freak of nature, these two games I had. So he's thinking, I've got a right to do it. He said, look, I'll offer you 350 quid a week. I wanted to sign. I was thinking, 350 quid a week? Well, I'll take that. Back then, you know, it was good money. I'm playing and buzzing. So he thinks he's got a deal. I'm thinking I've had it off because I've got a club. We've both had a bad deal. I was disastrous. And he's got a keeper that's a nightmare. And then literally, I think pre-season, I banged in 5 goals winning. There was goals shipping everywhere. Everywhere, honestly. It was a disaster. I didn't know whether a stick or twist when a ball come in a box. I was like, oh, yeah, no. I can't tell you how bad I was, right? And then what happened is I played in a game and then I'd had another nightmare. I think it's one of those goals and gaffes, you know, where the centre half hits against himself, hits me, hits him, goes in, one of those sort of things. So he's bitter end of me now. We've got a cup game against Colchester in the cup, and now the club is skint. Like, they're going into administration. They have to get this game, win this game, to get through to the next round. So go out of the match, starts. We're winning 1-0. Everyone's buzzing, like, cup, going to get through the next round. I get a back pass. So, like, the guy shuts me down, and I think, I'm going to go that way. And he kind of reads it. So I'm thinking, right, step over time. I go to come out the step over, slip. Oh, mate, my hand's on the ball. I'm off, right? So I look, I'm off. So I get up. I go, no, he's tripped me, ref. Off, bang. I've got my own players pushing me off the pitch. Fucking disgusting. So I'm thinking, oh, what a nightmare this
disgusting.
Is. Like, honestly, I'm thinking, what a nightmare. So, like, you know, we've all been sent off here, right? It's a long old haul in the dressing room. This is like 20 minutes into the game. We're winning 1-0. I'm thinking this is going to be a long hold on. So I sit in the dressing room. I'm pondering. My dad rings me. Mate, you've been sent off. Well, yeah. Have you seen it on television? Yeah. So I'm having a chat with my dad. This is a nightmare, Dad. So he comes. The match finishes. They've lost 2-1.
Oh.
So we come in the dressing room.
They've lost.
Yeah.
not your responsibility.
No, but they've lost. Do you know, like, things you wish you'd never have said, but actually at the time you think, I was only trying to make light of the situation, like, to try everyone's spirits, which I was a young kid. I didn't know if I was going to be so uptight. So we come in.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The dressing room, right? The lads come in, the door's getting booted off. Everyone's fuming. I'm thinking, oh dear, this could be a bit frosty in here, like. No one's speaking to me. Like, a senior pro, a guy called Trevor Morgan, he wants to fill me in. Robbie Turner, you know, big Robbie Turner, the Durham Brick, he wanted to just bash me up. I could see it. If I get out of here, I've done well. So the manager goes, Terry Kirk goes, well done, lads, you give it your best. He said, he's the fucking reason you lost. Fucking him, like that. He's come for me, like that. And I don't know why to this day I said it. And I went, fucking hell, Gaffer, I'm not being funny, but when I got sent off, we was winning fucking 1-0. Like, I just sort of said it, mate, I'm not kidding you. You could have thrown, like, a hand grenade in that dressing room. There was people coming for me. The manager wanted to kill me. It was like, fucking hell. Anyway, he sent me home after that. He said, just go home. And take consideration, I'd been sent off the week before. So I've been sent off the week before. We was winning 5-1 and I got sent off for that one.
Lost 6-5.
I get a 7-game ban. Parking, I get a 7-game ban, right? So I go home all over Christmas. I'm thinking, I'm on the train away home to my dad. I said, I'm done. That's me. I can't do this. I'm shit. So I go home, 7 weeks at home. I get a phone call. Bless his heart, top fella, Terry Cooper, rings me up. He says, come on, kid, come back. Your 7 games are over. Clean slate. Let's kick on, me and you. And I thought, fucking hell, fair play. What a top man. Turn up at the training ground after me 7 games.
So you didn't have to even go in training?
No, just sent me home. I just kept myself ticking over. I think I might have trained at Palace or something like that. Can't remember, but I literally didn't go in training. Just sent me home. So I come in, he sits me down. Look, no pressure, son. Go and play. Enjoy it. I believe in you. I've signed you. The best pep talk you could give everyone, right? So no pressure is his last words. Matter of fact, oh, brilliant. Anyway, we're playing Shrewsbury in the cup, right, on a Tuesday night. So I meet the coach, and like, there's a newspaper stand, and it says, Woodman owes us cup run, says Cooper. And I thought, fucking hell, no pressure. He's now telling everyone I am a cup run. I swear. And I thought, fucking hell, I'm not kidding you, right? We play at Shrewsbury. The geezer beats me with a shot from 45 yards. It must be 40. It sort of bounces and he just turns and hits it. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. Goal. And then I've come out for another one. I couldn't have had a bigger disaster ever, right? And I literally, I come in the dressing room and the lads, I ain't even having a go at me now. They even feel sorry for me. They think, ee, shit. And Terry Cooper's son, Mark Cooper, a guy I speak to a lot now, he went, I'm not being funny, Dad. He's fucking having one. Like, so he's saying that his dad's the manager. He's letting me have it to his dad. And I couldn't even have a response. I'm like, mate, you're better out of order because I was having one. And Terry Cooper, bless his heart, he went, I just don't know where to go with you now, son. I think that was my last ever game there. I think that was me done there. And after that, it was
a disaster. Is that Corksall's at Forest Green now?
Yeah, Corksall. Yeah. Yeah, so that was a disaster. And I think I'm their worst ever player in history. Ever, and rightly so.
You've got me feeling sorry for you now.
Honestly, I can't even dramatise that story because it was so bad. And I was so like, what am I doing? I am useless. And it was just that, mate, I imagine these kids have a lot of this now, though. Go from clubs, like wherever it's done, to club where you don't. And you, like, it's a culture shock. Yeah. You think you're going to walk into a club. And you're going to be the main man, and like, it was a disaster.
What was the outcome then? How long did you sign?
I signed a year-to-year extension, and what happened is, I got a phone call one Tuesday evening, or Tuesday morning, from Ian Atkins, who's Northampton manager. And he rings me up and he says, look, I want to sign you. He said, but I probably won't come and get you to the end of the season in the summer. And I thought, oh, gutted, I would be nice now. And that night, I remember watching their game on teletext. I mean, this is how long ago it is on the teletext, watching their score. And they're getting pumped at 5-0. And I'm thinking, come on. I'm now wishing some poor goalie, who actually was Billy Stewart, who's a nice fella, I'm wishing him to have the world I've had just a little while ago. And he had, bless him. And literally next day, I went into training and Terry Cooper said to me, look, the club wants to sign you. I'm happy for you to go. If you want to go, I'm going to have talks.
More than happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he almost wanted to say, I don't want you to go, but he couldn't bring himself to say that. He's almost like, here's your petrol money, go on, off you go. So, and I went to Northampton and signed there. And actually, it turned out to be all right.
Just going back with, you must have been really disappointed to leave it. I know you hadn't got the opportunity, but to leave Palace after being there so many years, all the lads that you knew got on with.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bitter pill, to be honest. And I think I spoke about it quite openly in the book, and I know I got a bit of criticism from one or two people about what I said about the manager at the time, and it wasn't meant in like today's mindset. I was putting myself back into the mindset of when I got released, and I just thought the way I got released wasn't the fact that I got released. It was the fact that he told all the other players that weren't getting a contract weeks before, so they could sort out a club. Because he needed me on the bench, or I felt that I was needed as a backup keeper at that time, I got told literally a day before the last game of the season. So I couldn't really get a club sorted. And luckily enough, Exeter had a couple of games left over that I could play in. So that left it a little bit bitter. I mean, talk about the lads, right? I mean, this sums up the Palace lads. So I've got a free transfer. I go out to train on a Friday. The lads obviously know that day before the last game of the season, Watford, and we're getting presented the trophy, the championship trophy. So I made a few saves in training. The lads are like, too little, too late, Woody. I ain't got a job, they're going to the Premiership, and that's the banter you're having. No? So then, right, we go out the pitch after the game at Palace to get the medals. So, you know, you put the old Chapman's shirts on, all that. My one, they've given me mine. Mine's got for sale, one careful owner. offers were in. They put on my shirt like that. Go on, go out, we'll go and get your shirt out. That was the banter then. Do you know what I mean? Then I'm walking out there, for sale, one careful owner. Like, you know. And that was just the norm of the banter there, you know. And that was at that club. It was like sink or swim. And I sunk and swam at the same time sometimes. But yeah, it was a hard wrench for me leaving. You know, I'd been my only club. And it was hard for my family and everyone, you know, really hard. And it's hard for all these kids when they leave a club because they don't know what's around the corner, and actually your sort of safety net's taken, isn't it?
So were you I spoke about it a few times, were you half hoping that Palace didn't go up there and you might get another year, another 2 years? You're in the back of your...
Yeah, I think... No, I think I kind of thought to myself all along, they're going to get promoted. Like, I've been with Alan Smith since youth team and all that. The club loved me. I was caught up in that sort of like, which I hear now a lot, weirdly enough. Now I'm a coach and I hear families say it. You know, he's been at the club since he was eight. Clubs don't really bother if you've been at the club since eight. They're just nice. It's the industry. And I was in that mindset. Well, I've been here years. They weren't. They'll
give me another year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And they didn't. And I think there was a little bit, you know, I've never really publicly said this, but I do think there was a little bit of one, I wasn't going to be good enough. I need to go and play. You know, I need to go and fall to good. That was definitely, you know, on the agenda. They needed to get someone with experience to sit in the Premiership, which rightly so. And I do think there was a little bit of, look, this kid's a bit of a loose cannon sometimes, and we don't really want a loose cannon around the place. As much as he's fun, he's good for the dressing room. He is a little bit of a loose cannon, and I was a little bit of a loose cannon when I was younger, which might surprise you. So I think there was a little bit of that, look, his time's gone, let's move him on.
The thing is, like leaving Palace, you think, right, I've got another club. You're dropping down, but I've got another club. It doesn't go so well at Exeter. Are you thinking, fuck me, the time's running out here? I need to start doing it.
Do you know, I actually went down there and I had these aspirations, and I can still remember it now because I hear the kids at Arsenal say it. I'll go to Exeter, I'll win player of the year. I mean, that was my mindset. I'll go there, win player of the year, probably win team of the year, you know, PFL 11 vote to me, and then bounce back up. And that was generally how I thought it'd go. Well, I couldn't be any further than the truth. I mean, Jesus Christ. I wouldn't even win Tiddlywinks team of the year. It was a nightmare. I mean, I couldn't even go out down there. I was out a lot, by the way. All the sociology nights and all the sort of like student nights. But, you know, that aside, it didn't go too well.
Lenny Pidgley said the same thing, didn't he? Because he was on the bench at Chelsea for years, and then I can't remember where he went after Chelsea.
Was it Millwall? Did he go to Millwall? Did he go on loan? His loans didn't work out.
Lenny had a similar sort of situation, when he was at the club. And it was in that era where I think a keeper had only just been allowed to be on the bench. It would only just come in around about that time. So it's all kind of new to clubs of like, put a young one on the bench, don't matter. But then I think the reality dropped. Oh, hang on a minute. We might need someone a bit more experience now as backup, whereas it's just always a young kid.
Yeah, 52.
What an offer.
Yet again.
Where else can you get 8 craft beers for £5.95? They're quite expensive, some of them, you know.
I know they are.
You know, for
beers of that quality.
Oh yeah, yeah. They are. You can talk £3.5 a bottle for some of them.
It's good gear, isn't it? That's why.
Well, yeah.
If you're not a fan of the dark ales, you can choose the light option, light lagers,
which are the ones for me. I'll be honest with you. I prefer them ones.
Yeah. Oh, I can mix.
I've tried both.
Mix and match.
Tried both, but for me personally, the light ones are better.
Every pack comes with a magazine.
It does.
Ferment magazine and a snack pack.
It's a bloody good read as well.
Man, the snacks are bloody tremendous.
Yes. Always nice and nibble, in it, when you're having a drink?
Yeah. You can cancel any time.
You can.
I do like that about it.
Yeah.
If you want to pause it for a month, if you're off the air.
Have a week off.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing dry March, dry February, dry whatever month you're doing,
just pause it.
Or are you going white and get 2 boxes in?
Which is probably the better option.
And of course, as listeners of Under the Cosh, special offer time.
Yeah, we are the podcast that just keeps on giving.
Changing lives.
£5.95 delivery charge.
That's all you pay?
That's what you pay. And the 8 craft beers come free. Did you hear what I said?
Free.
Free.
Free of charge. 8 craft beers on your doorstep for £5.95 postage.
What more could you possibly want?
The code? What's the code?
The code is www.beer52.com/cosh. I'll repeat that just in case you struggle with me Barnsley tones. www.beer52.com/cosh, and thank us later.
Well, we'll put that link in the description as well of the podcast, so you can just click straight on it and pick your beers up. So that's the first case, absolutely free apart from the postage.
£5.95.
And your magazine. And your nibbles. Bloody marvellous.
Four years at Northampton, though. Somewhat of a cult hero, I've read.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that. But yeah, it's about the only couple I've got. Yeah, it went well for me then. I mean, it sometimes you just gel with a club, didn't you? I mean,
did it happen straight away? Because obviously your head's probably up your arse going from Exeter.
Do you know, it was weird.
Running.
I went there and the manager, Ian Atkins, who I still speak to now and who you've probably all come across, Acko, he's a character. And like, at the time, we all hated him because he used to be like horrendous to us, some of the things he'd done. But when we all get together now and we get together with him, we all laugh with him and, what about that time he done that, Acko? What? And he laughs. And actually, we all say that he actually made the best of all of us. You know, we were all waifs and strays and rejects, and he put us together and he found this way to make a team spirit by us all hating him and us sort of managing the dressing rooms and sort of like...
So, us against that?
Yeah,
against
almost like...
Band of merry men.
Yeah, almost like, fuck him, let's fucking go and show him. And he loved it, he was clever. He was like he'd run us, like, I mean, he'd run us, like... miles like ridiculous amount of miles, and then players on a Saturday and we'd be like, he wants us to fight, and he'd be like, don't use that as an excuse, you've had an hard week, and we're like, fucking hell, we can't move. But we'd have to go out there and think, fucking hell, we better not have the excuse, just show him. And that's how he did it. And we was a particularly fit team and good team then, and I had two terrific centre halves in front of me, so I never had to come for a ball ever, which made me look good.
Did he get the best out of you though, man management?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He used to drive me crackers. But I'll tell you what, he was really clever at. He recognised my personality and he literally kind of gave me free rein to sort of police the dressing room in a way that he knew was right. So the banter in the dressing room would be like very similar to what I'd experienced at Palace, and I brought it into Northampton, except I weren't the one shouting out, Woody!
You're the instigator, not the victim.
Yeah, exactly. The payback. And we had a real good, tight bunch of lads, and the banter was, you know, good sort of lower league banter, if you will. And we had success, you know, we had success. And I had my best time under him, for sure. And he signed me, at two other clubs as well after that. So I've got a lot of time for Acko, I really do. And he was a bit ahead of his time with some things, and a little bit mental with a lot of things. Like proper mental. Some of the things I'd say about him, you'd laugh.
Do you think you're mentally stronger for you? Horrendous time at Exeter as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I actually shit myself though when we used to go back and play Exeter, because I knew I was getting dogs abuse going back there. I said to myself, oh, fucking, here we go. And he's like, they used to sing, we remember Culture Star and all of that. And, oh, here we go. But yeah, it definitely made me stronger, mentally stronger. And listen, with Akers, you know, you had to be mentally strong anyway, because if you were weak, you weren't in his team. And I think he created a team of men, stroke, fighters, scrappers, and that's what we were. You know, I can't think if we had any real sort of good flair players, to be honest. I think we didn't. I think we just had a team of sort of brutes. Yeah. and I don't think I threw a ball out in 4 years. If I threw a ball out, he'd go mental. Bookie, kicky. Okay. Bookie. I know his voice. Bookie, kicky, you big galoo. My leg would be hanging off. Boom, that's a big John Gow. So, yeah, that was my time under Akers there. And it was good. I mean, we had the Wembley appearance, the two Wembley finals, which one was great and one was not so great. But it was great times. Yeah, then I left Northampton. Bit silly, really. I got left out of the team and then kind of threw my toys out the pram a little bit.
Was it Atkins still?
Yeah, with Atkins. To be fair, I was a bit of a hothead. So the minute I was out of the team, I was like, I'm fucking staying here. And I've been here 4 years. It's been the best club ever for me. And I was just, completely, my head went. So then obviously Brentford signed me. Ron Nodes had me at Palace and signed me. And I went to Brentford, and then we won the league there, which is great.
Do you have a few... Like you said, bit of an hothead. Did you have a few training ground moments?
Yeah, I did, yeah. A few, yeah. Yeah. I've had a few even on the bench in the Premiership. I think I had one against Southampton where that Osvaldo kicked me right up the pieces, didn't he? I mean, I like to think I've got a bit better as I got older, and I'm sure my family would say, not so sure. But, yeah, I've had a few moments where a little bit of a trigger goes in me. And
actual scrapping?
Yeah, what? I've had a few. I had a fight with Dave Remy in the dressing room at half-time once. And literally, a proper full scowl, me and him going at it. And I remember...
Is it one of them when the lads stand back?
Yeah, lads stand back. We're slipping on our boots, on our studs. I've fallen on the floor and I've got a free hand. And I'm like, go on, this is great. He ain't getting in here. Anyway, no one stopped it. It was like... Any chance? Like,
you know, you'd expect a couple
yeah, literally, especially if you're losing.
Yeah, exactly. And literally, it gets broken up, and then all day here was the manager giving it, I fucking love that. I love it. That's the manager. And I'm thinking, you know, he's like, he loves all that. I mean, I'm not proud to say, I mean, I actually hit an assistant manager once, which I really was a bit out of order there. I lost my head a little bit and just hit him. And everyone was like, are you fucking for real? And I went, well, I ain't let him speak to me like that. I went, are you for fucking real? And the lads all went, are you for fucking real? And all I heard in the background was, I fucking love that. Because that was the manager. I fucking love that. He would go, like, some of you don't want to be more like him. And I think to myself, I've just chinned your assistant manager. Like, you know, and that's dawning. After the mister's gone, I'm thinking, fucking hell, that could be me done here. I've just chinned the assistant manager just because he's saying, I should have done better with a goal. And I'm thinking, what have I done? Like, you know what he's done wrong, didn't you? The lads will look at you and go, that's fucking out of order.
You just get that look, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, and then Ackers goes, fucking love that. You don't need to be more like him. In fact, go for a call down now. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go out. Lads ain't going to talk to me. Go get out of order. So, like, I've had a few of those moments, which I'm not proud of. Yeah, yeah.
But and then it happened more back then, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
It was normal.
And like, when I say it now, I'd hate people to think, you know, a bit of a fire. I'm not, but I just had this, like, hot head. I wasn't great at taking criticism. That might come from the Palace days, maybe, scarred. but yeah, and I just had a little bit of a height. I mean, I got set off 5 or 6 times, badly, you know, it wasn't all my fault.
You know. That's quite a majority of keeper. Yeah.
There was no VAR back then. If it had been VAR, it might have been 9 or 10. Yeah, and then obviously, and then I had the incident at, when I was at Newcastle coach. I mean, fucking hell, you can't have a bigger scene than that, where it kicked off on the sideline, and it was against Southampton, and Pochettino, nicest fella, I never even met Poch. What a lovely, his staff, lovely, goalie coach, lovely. They're the nicest blokes ever. And it kicked off on the sideline, and I sort of got up, and sort of, I think Pars was having a bit of a row with them over something, and I kind of got up and like tried to calm down one. And this is actually not, I know I've got a few wrong, but this out of nowhere, I got kicked straight in the nuts. Like straight from behind someone, bang. So you can imagine, I've got like a raging ball. I'm trying to hit everyone, the goalie coach, Pochettino, it's chaos. And when I look back at that night on Sky Soccer Saturday, and Paul Merson's going, the keeper's going mad. Who's going to hold him back? And it was like, I thought myself, I lost my head. And it went up the tunnel, I got sent off. I'm trying to fight the goalie coach, Tony Jimenez. And like, they were the nicest people ever. And then like the year later, we play against them. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. I said, I thought you'd done it and it wasn't you. I thought goalie coach kicked me. But it was Osvaldo. He booted me like from behind someone and proper caught me. Yeah, and proper caught me a treat. And then the worst thing is I get a fine from the FA. I'll get fined from the FA. He gets fined a lot more from the FA for it. But you know, it was like one of those moments you think, oh no, what a nightmare.
Did Pardew love it?
Nah, proper went mental. Oh, no, yeah. No, proper went mental. He on the Monday, he was like, nah, mate, you got to keep your head. It ain't on. I said, look, mate. I said, like, and it is Pars. And Pars is a friend of mine, right? So for him to have a pop at me, like, I know I've been a bit out of order here. I said, look, mate. I said, he's kicked me. I don't give him money to kick you. You got to just suck it up. I'm like, well, mate, it's not hard. You know what I mean? I'm trying to sort of half keep you calm. So I'm trying to sort of give him a point of view across. Anyway, he said, well, look, from now on, I want you fucking getting off that bench. No matter what's going on out there, you fucking stay on that bench. Don't get off, because when you get off, it's fucking chaos. I went, all right, no problem. He said, like, if you're having a route, I won't get off the bench. Oh, fucking hell. The week later, at Hull, he's fucking kicking off, isn't he, on the pitch. I'm sitting there going,
where's your back
mailer? I'm fucking moving. Fucking hell, you need to keep a grip of yourself.
Was it the mailer one?
Yeah. It was, I mean, that was like a week or maybe 2 weeks beforehand, he's having a go at me, and rightly so, by the way. I would, and then that week I'm sitting there going, fucking hell, John, look at him, he's having a wild old ding dong. I literally sat there, and loads of people said to me after, like our sort of mutual friends, said, fucking hell, where was you? Like, you know, he told me not to move. I can't buy the manager's rules. So it was like, I mean, that was crazy.
Did you get sent off for punching the defender?
There was one. I don't know if he's a defender. It was at Exeter. There was one where it was a corner, and literally we was winning 5-0 or 5-1, and a kid called Jason White just elbowed me in the face at a corner, like literally just enough, like bang. So I just shinned him. Like, you know, I mean, what are you thinking? You can't do that, can you? You know, I mean, what am I thinking? I'm at the park with my mates. And literally, off. And like, now I'm sort of having a scrap with him down a tunnel. My head's completely... And then the week later, I got the second sending off where I'd done a step over. Like, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, really. But me, like, to, like in that era, you could get away with checking your well band someone's face. Or it's kind of weird to say that. When I say it to my son, he looks at me and goes... What, you do that and try to get away with it? I said, yeah, it was like the part of the part game.
Yeah, everyone
it's
did.
It's madness, Parky.
Back then, the worst thing is getting caught doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But now you can't even breathe without doing anything, can you? So, I had all that going on as well.
You get more of a fucking for getting caught doing it than actually doing it. Yeah. Stupid. Stupid. The linesman's there. Stupid, that. Not the fact you fucking smash somebody at Noah. Stupid. Yeah. Hey, if you're going to do it, make sure no fucker sees it.
Don't get caught.
And you find yourself always giving up a defence case. I always tell myself, saying, yeah, but. You're like, yeah, but. I mean, like, I wasn't doing anything. He just elbowed me. Like, don't be so ridiculous. You know, so I was quite easy to wind up like that, I think. I always try to play with a smile on my face, and that's probably because I was so shit. I thought I'd try to take it away from
the goalkeeper.
Yeah, just try to take it away from the goalkeeper. Yeah. Look, I'm happy here. I'm a good fella.
Enjoy it, Brentford.
Brentford, did I enjoy it? I didn't enjoy it. Nah, I knew it wasn't going to start well for me when I went for my first warm-up. And obviously Kevin Dearden was a crowd favourite there for years. They loved him. And I literally went down and a bloke went to me, why don't you fuck off back to fucking Northampton, you prick? And that was one of my own fans. And I went, fucking hell, mate, it's a chance. And he was right, I was fucking useless. I was all over the place there as well. Because they played a flat back four there, and I'd always played for sweeper, which meant I didn't have to come out of my line or anything. So when I had a flat back four, I was like, oh, shall I shine? And I struggled with it a little bit. So, but we got promoted, and we had a good team, and got promoted, and then I left.
Jimmy Glasster, because he's supposed to be coming on, I think.
Jimmy, I was at Palace, Jimmy.
Yeah,
Jimmy, good lad, Jimmy. I actually won a lot of money off him playing cards once on a coach, and had my patio down. I called it the Jimmy Glass Patio. That's true. That's actually a true
the
story.
Jimmy Glass Patio.
I'll tell you what, though, this is a true. Black. So this is you just triggered that in my head. We played Stoke at Stoke City, and we the manager Ron Nodes at the time, he hated gambling. He was like, "Are you fucking gambling, Woody?" I said, "No, Gaffer, look, we're playing with pennies. But what we do is we'll get pennies, and then we change them up and put the 20 quids in the pot, and then at the end change the pennies back for real notes." So he thought we was playing for pennies. So he was like, "Man, they're all right, they're playing for pennies. Yeah, but any pennies, Gaffer? No." So we're playing Stoke, right, and we're literally pulling into the game. At Stoke, like half one, and we're all playing cards. And like, I feel I've free card brag. I feel I've got an unbelievable hand, and I've gone blind. Jimmy's gone, bang, I've got ace, case, AKQ, whatever it is, and done him. And it was about 700 quid I'd won off him, which back then was like a shitload of money. Now I've got to go and play a match, like 15, 20 minutes later, I've got to start warming up. And literally, I mean, when you think about it, it's crazy, because like, the first minute of Stoke, I come for a ball, no one near me, dropped it, fucking booted my face, goal. And like, I think to myself, fucking hell, what do I expect with my preparation, playing cards all the way out there?
You were spending your 700 quid,
I got 700 quid. And literally, I got home that night, and I'm missing, my typical mate says, oh, you've had a shitter, ain't you, like that. And I went, well, not really, I've got 700 quid, you'll get the patio done now. So, and I called it the Jimmy Glass Patio. Jimmy's a great lad. You'll have fun with Jim.
How many games did you play when you went up for Brentford? Were you number one?
Yeah, so I went halfway through a season, replaced Kevin Dearden and Jason Pearce, who was the keeper at the time. And we had some characters there. Jesus Christ, I mean, we had big Jamie Bates. Blimey, he had a mixed life. I don't even know too much about Jamie Bates.
No, I've never heard of him.
Google him when you get off here. Jesus Christ, I mean, his missus had a completely different job from the norm. Right. Thinking to that way, so we had him. We had Charlie Oakway.
What could have been?
No, let me tell you. I mean, listen, it's no secret. Bates, he was a legend at Brentford, a legend, like centre half, and his missus was an escort. I'm not joking here. And like one day, I get into training, the lads are buzzing. I said, "What are you in the fucking papers?" I went, "Well, news of the world, Brentford captain's missus is an escort like that." And I think, fucking hell, like, it's all in the papers. Lads are all sitting there waiting for him to come in. no one's not going to shy away from this. So he's walked in. Lads, why, your missus is this and your missus is that. They're fucking battering him. I'm thinking, he's going to kick off. And he turned around and said, tax-free money, lads. Tax-free money. That's fucking cool as that. I was like, he just said what I thought. He said, he went, tax-free money, can't beat it. And that was exactly his banner. And that was what he said. I mean, he never
fair player.
He never fag at half-time. First game, I'm sitting there at half-time, I'm getting the fag. He's a fucking jiffer. I mean, we had some mental characters. There. Mental characters.
See, I'm just thinking, you'd have to pay for one at Young Lads, wouldn't you? Yeah. I'll chip in and pay for one at Young Lads.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, so we had him there. We had Charlie Oakway, who's crackers. But we had a team, again, that got promoted and sort of knew how to get promoted. And Ron Nodes was the manager. Well, I mean, what a manager. Jesus Christ. He was the most chilled out bloke ever. Didn't do anything.
We haven't heard much about him, have we?
Ron owned the club, owned the training ground, owned everything. And his team talk was, lads, go and play today. There's no pressure. You're going to get paid. I own the club. I own the training ground. I own everything. Go and enjoy yourself. That was his team talk. And I was like, is that fucking it? And that was it. And then Ray Lou would step in and maybe give us a few tactics. And that was Ron. And he was that chilled out. And we won the league. I mean, we had good players for that league. Herman Ryderson. We had him playing.
Big striker.
The
one who ended up at Portsmouth. Remember him in Dublin?
Fucking he ripped my tit off, didn't he?
Oh, he's was a too much. Oh, mate, I nearly stabbed him one night. Oh. I'll tell you what it was. It was at a pre-match. And it always fucking get your head locked. He was fucking nuts. And it got on my nerves. And I think on the Friday, we'd done set pieces. And he cut me eye. Like, I mean, the S-man's up. And he fucking cut me eye. And I think he's getting on my tits. And I think the lads must have been goading me a little bit, giving it, he won't do nothing. And literally, he come down and got me an headlock, and I think I must have just grabbed sat on the table trying to stab him. I was choking at the time, and he was a nut. I didn't know what he was.
He was just going around different teams. It was the old dub, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the Christmas do. There was loads of teams in there, and he was just going around and getting people in headlocks and grabbing people.
Yeah, because I'd got like a naughty sailors thing on. So every time I put me cock in, my tits would come out, or vice versa. And my tits must be out, and he just fucking grabbed it like that. I thought he was going to rip it off.
Yeah, he's out for what
it was. Come
on,
mate.
Yeah, he was.
Herman's are your lads.
Big out. Yeah.
Like, it was almost like
that. We see him out the corner of the eye.
Get your drink, Herman. Oh, no. Like,
exactly. Shame. Yeah. He'd be like that. Fucking, here we go. He's coming. What's he going to do? Every day you're on edge, you have to have a scrap with him again, and he's going to fucking just strength me off again, because he was fucking
he's massive.
Strong.
Yeah, big
Jesus
old.
Christ.
I think he threw somebody through the roof at one point.
Yeah,
through roof. Yeah,
sort of,
you know, like this.
He
picked him up, and I think the fucking roof. And
he played the role, didn't he? Of like, I'm the ice man and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, he made me look all right though. To be on the pitch, fucking hell, he could head a ball. He'd be like, Herman's up, boom. That's just how I ain't coming for nothing. He's coming a box, and I used to shout, as a ball coming a box, Herman's up. I was the keeper. Herman's up. He'd be like, yeah, that's mine. Fucking all that. Fucking head that, mate. Throw up a brick. Yeah, Herman did that. He was fucking crackers. We had him and Darren Powell. Remember Darren Powell, the other centre half?
Went to Derby.
Yeah.
Did he go to Derby? He went to Palace and West Ham. He's a good friend of mine now. But I had a fight with him. Yeah, I had a fight with him. Fucking hell, yeah.
I told you, didn't I? You know what you said earlier? My memory's not good. I said stuff all just come to
if the lads were in that dressing room now, they'd say, no, it weren't a fight. Pally just ginger. And it's true, right? So we had a row on the pitch or something, and he... similar sort of story. He's saying, come off your fucking line, come. And I think, I ain't coming out of there, that's your ball. So like, it's continued on the pitch. And anyway, as we come on the pitch, I went, you ever fucking speak to me like that again? I said, I'll knock you out. Like, I think so. And as I'm saying that, I think so, might struggle with this one, mate. And literally he went, yeah, come on, let's do it now. And I got up, and then, you know, when a bench is behind your legs, and literally as I got up, he went bang, hit me straight on the bum. So I kind of just sat down again. And then I thought, fuck that. I went up again. He hit me again, clean as a whistle. And then I think to myself, fucking hell, any chance of anyone stopping this now? This is getting a bit embarrassing here, like that. And literally, it hit me to the cleanest. It was like that magic bullet theory where the president got shot. His heart went through everyone and hit me flat on the face. Fucking twice. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And literally... I got in on the Monday, it was good as gold. But and even now, when I see him, I say, what about that time I whooped your ass in the dressing room? And he looks at me as he says, yeah, of course you did. So we had a few fights I've had.
You got a bad injury though at Oxford, didn't you? 46 stitches I've got.
Yeah, I did. Funny enough, that was playing at Shrewsbury, yeah. We played at Shrewsbury and someone come down the angle and hit a shot, and I dived out that way and Nigel Jempson was sliding in, and one of my own players, bang, smashed me straight in the face. And I thought, oof, dear, that feels... And I heard the ball gone in as well, so that made it worse. But fuck, you know, it's gone in as well. So I thought, oof, that don't feel great here. And then you know it's not good when the lads go, whoa, 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 stay there, it's all right. Yeah, the lads are the worst ever, they. Whoa, 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 big man, don't move, it's only a nick. Whoa, come in here, get on here, quick, and you feel yourself.
Stretch,
and,
yeah.
And I'm sort of putting my tongue there, thinking, fucking hell, I've got no lip here, and my eyes shut, and I'm sort of laying there thinking, and I kid you not, right, I kid you not. So they get me on a stretcher, right, and I've never been a small fella, but I'm on this stretcher. And they can't get me round the corridor, the old Shrewsbury ground. So the fucking corner goes down. I'm going like blood everywhere. And all I can hear is, right, is Acker's giving it, yeah, it'd be all right. Put a plaster on it. It'd be all right for the second half. And I had 50 odd stitches. 50
Jesus. Did they give the goal?
Yeah, goal was given, yeah. And the keeper that went in, Scott McNiven, had a blinder. They said he should have played all season. And this is how fucking stupid I was, right? So 50 stitches. All my mouth, my lip, my eye. Honestly. Face all closed up. That was on a Saturday. The following Friday, Ackers, yeah, let's get those stitches out, you'll be all right. I had the stitches out on a Friday. It was weeping my face, and I think, so, yeah, because you needed the appearance money, didn't you? You know what I mean? You wanted the appearance money and a bonus,
yeah,
because you think, fucking, I've got a gas bill to pay this month or something, yeah, like that. So I'm having the stitches out, and I think, so, and he's going, yeah, that's all right, you'll be all right. And I think, so, it's fucking still weeping. Like, and literally, the team we played, they kicked off. This is the following Saturday from when I had these stitches, and they literally hung the ball up, and I thought, I've got that. And fucking Jesus smashed me from this side. And I was like, fucking, what am I doing out here like this? And literally, I mean, that's, you imagine asking a player now to play a week later after all those stitches.
No chance.
It wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't be allowed. No, it wouldn't be allowed. Allowed. No.
And all I was thinking about is my £200 appearance, man, my £150 win bonus, which would have paid for a bill probably. So, yeah, 50 stitches. Yeah.
Enjoy your Oxford?
Yeah, I liked it, Oxford. Yeah, nice part of the world, nice ground. Did okay. And then Ackers went. And then we had, I think we had Graham Ricks come in.
Oof. Is it not the best.
He just weren't for me, you know, and I weren't for him, obviously. And just something about him, the first thing I weren't warm into is when I went and see him in his office, and he's sitting there with a cigar, his feet up on the table in his pants, and I'm thinking, fucking sure, what?
Underpants?
Underpants, yeah, he's like sluggies. You know the old sluggies? And I'm thinking to myself, he's fucking winding me up here. And like, he's talking to me like, in the third voice of like, you're not going to be here, mate, so don't worry about it. And I was like, okay. And then, yeah, it just weren't happening for me. And actually, I left, I think I left midway or the end of that season.
How old are you at this point? I've lost all track of how old.
Yeah, I think I was about 31, 32 then.
Yeah. Is that when you went to Stevenage?
Yeah, I went to Stevenage with Graham Wesley. And, well, oof. Fucking hell. Oof. Jesus.
He's right. Featured heavily on here.
Oh, dear. Come on, where do we start? Fucking hell. You ever been at Preston?
No, nah. I had him at Newport. I played his first two games. I pulled my hamstring. We're injured for 6 weeks, and then I'd just like, it's not for me, this.
I'm oh, damn. Crackers, wasn't he?
Oh, fuck.
Was he the same back then? We've heard about his...
I kid you not, right? I'm not even making this up.
So we just go for a piss before we start on Wesley, because I think this could be a long old slog.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.